Today, we are continuing our sermon series on justice. Justice is part of the character of God. Jesus, the Son of God, affirms God is righteous and cares about the poor. During the Sermon on the Mount, which we just heard an excerpt from, he announced, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied." Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the blessings of this life, your unfailing love, your Son, our Savior and Lord, and your Holy Spirit who heals and empowers us. Help us to study this blessing so that we may gain a deeper understanding of the blessings Jesus described and the values of the kingdom of God, particularly justice, for which we hunger and thirst. May we be a blessing to others as we are blessed by you, dear God. Amen. So a quick overview of these blessings, which are called the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are based on God's grace received by those who are poor, oppressed, persecuted. While the Beatitudes contain implied ethical commands to us, the people of God, these ethical commands are secondary to the announcement of the kingdom of God and the kingdom's values. And so just to put this in context, if you imagine that Jesus is surrounded by lots of people, thousands of people, and so he goes a little higher up the mountain so that he can be seen and heard by them, and he is proclaiming what the kingdom of God will be like. A Bible scholar described the blessings announced by Jesus in the Beatitudes as a manifesto on the values of the kingdom of God. They represent the paradoxical values of the kingdom of God in contrast to the values of the world. I mean, the world doesn't say, blessed are the poor, right? I mean, it's blessed are you who are rich and this is how to do that. But no, Jesus is saying, blessed are the poor, blessed are the people who long for justice. And that's in contrast to what the world said then and the world still says. And Jesus then encouraged the disciples to embrace kingdom values rather than world values and assured them that they will be rewarded, they will be blessed. We are also encouraged, dear friends, to embrace these values. So this particular blessing, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Now the context of this beatitude is following the other beatitudes or blessings regarding the poor, the mourning, the humble, and it supports an understanding of those who truly are oppressed, literally hungry and thirsty. It's not just a spiritual hunger and thirst. Jesus is speaking to those who not only are spiritually hungry and thirsty, but literally hungry and thirsty. And the people who are experiencing this are yearning for God to act and bring justice. And justice will be fully realized in the future when the kingdom of God is fully here. People who hunger and thirst for righteousness or justice are not merely those who long to be good personally or idealistic dreamers. They are persons who long for the coming of God's kingdom and the vindication of those who are oppressed. In the Old Testament, we see God repeatedly rescuing oppressed people and vindicating them. We see that in Exodus, where the people of God who were enslaved in Egypt are rescued. We see that when the people of God are again caught into slavery, captured, and they are then brought back into the land. And so our God is a God who gives us presence, gives us justice, gives us rescue. As we observe the injustices in this world today, like the 40 million people who are caught in some form of slavery, we long for justice. We long for God's justice. And as Christians, therefore, we are hungry and thirsty for justice on behalf of others. We recognize that others are oppressed, and we don't want to turn a back to them and their needs. We care for them, and we care for them by praying and by acting. And so we seek God's righteousness and we pray the Lord's Prayer, which we will do a little bit later on. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we acknowledge that the world is not as it should be. It's not the way God intended it, not the way God wants it to be. And so we are asking God in that part of the prayer to right injustice. When we grieve over injustice, oppression, violence, we cry out to God, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we long for God to right things. We are called to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and engage in activities that promote justice. Jesus, in his life, demonstrated God's righteousness and justice. In fact, before Jesus was born, his mother Mary prophesied that Jesus would have a ministry of justice and righteousness. She prophesied this in the Magnificat, which is in Luke chapter 1, verses 50 to 53. Mary said, "His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands." Mary knew that her baby was called to very wonderful special ministry. Additionally, Jesus announced his ministry in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, when he is in the synagogue and he's reading from the temple, from the prophet of Isaiah. He reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus stated, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." This verse supports interpreting the metaphor of hungry and thirsty for justice as hungering for the word of God, for God, rather than just being hungry for physical food. Yes, people who are poor are, of course, hungry for physical food. We are human. We hunger for food. But we are hungry for the Word of God. We are hungry for God's presence. And we are hungry for what God is doing in the world. We may also consider Psalm 107, in which the psalmist writes, "Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and hungry. He fills with good things." Jesus the Messiah addresses the longing for justice, filling the hungry soul with good things. Jesus is present, as we prayed, with those who are suffering from oppression. Jesus is present. Jesus is offering comfort. And justice is coming. Now, this blessing has a future tense because, again, Jesus is announcing the kingdom of God, which is here, and it burst forth into the world when Jesus was born. But it's not fully here yet. It will be here with the second coming. And so this blessing has a future tense, will be satisfied. The needs of the oppressed will be met through the future reality of the kingdom of God. Until this happens, again, Jesus gives love and presence to those who are oppressed, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to act on their behalf. So what is our response to the righteousness of God, to God's justice? Righteousness is a crucial theme in Matthew. It's a crucial theme throughout all of the Bible. And it means both actively doing the will of God and looking for God's justice. We are called to respond to God's righteousness by doing the will of God and participating in God's saving actions. As we just announced to Emilia, She is part of the light of the world now. Dear friends, you are part of that light as well. Jesus is the light of the world, and we are called to reflect that light. And so we are called to act according to how God wants us to act, to demonstrate justice and mercy. The Beatitudes point primarily to the blessings as grace from God. So again, this is about God. It's about God's value. And we are called then to be thankful for God's ongoing involvement in the world. There are those, and they're referred to as deists, who believe that, you know, God just created it and then just set it in motion and then walked away. No, we don't believe in that. We believe that God is here with us, that God is deeply saddened by the things that happen. God cares, and God had rescued people in the Old Testament, and the ultimate rescue is Jesus. The birth of Jesus, the Son of God, who came to rescue us from our sin, but also to rescue the whole world, the creation that is groaning under the weight of this sin. That's the ultimate rescue plan that God has put in place, and that's God's involvement in the world. And let us be thankful for that. And we are also to respond to God's grace by participating in God's saving actions humbly. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, the people of God are instructed to seek righteousness and humility. Micah writes, "O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So, dear friends, let us stand in prayer with those who are oppressed, and seek God's will for us to engage in justice ministries. I've mentioned before, when we say the Psalms, and we're reading about, you know, some things that are really horrible that are happening to the psalmist, we might look around and think, but I'm living in a free country. I'm living in a country that is one of the richest in the history of the world. This doesn't really apply to me if I think about it. And it might not. But it applies to people throughout the world. And so when we say those psalms, we say them praying for others who maybe can't pray them. There are people who are persecuted who cannot openly pray to God. So when we pray, we can openly pray. So let us do so for them, bringing their prayers before God. And that is a delight for God to know that his people, who are so richly blessed, are choosing to be a blessing for others. Now, one of the things I would like to caution you is that our desire to engage in justice activities is part of the divine spark in each of us. Emilia's parents agreed to help raise her in the faith, and part of that was to work for justice and peace. And so that's something that we do. But we want to be careful not to embrace works-based justification. We don't want to be thinking, well, I'm doing all these things because that's what I do to justify me. No, no. And the problem with that is that then we're trusting in our own righteousness, and that becomes self-righteousness. And some of you have heard me say this before. I've tried this out, and it really doesn't work well. It doesn't work well. Instead, trust in the righteousness of God and do, as Micah said, as God asks us to do. Responding to this call for justice by trusting one's own strength can overwhelm a person with the world's needs, and it results in our own personal frustration and exhaustion. One's calling in Christ's ministry is an invitation to participate in Christ's ongoing ministry through the power of the Holy Spirit. Discovering Christ's presence in justice ministry then reduces stress and restores our joy and our hopefulness, because we are working together. We're working with other Christians who long for justice. Participating in Christ's ministry as led by the Holy Spirit means that we're acknowledging that God set the agenda. And that is what Jesus said. I can do nothing. I do what the Father sees, what I see the Father doing, what the Father calls me to do. I mean, if we think about that, the Son of God was saying, I do what God wants me to do. I do what I see the Father doing. Let that inspire us to do what God the Father wants us to do, and to let God set the agenda. And when we do that, then the world does not establish the agenda for ministry, but God does. And God loves the world, and God desires its good. And so we trust God. Following the leading of the Holy Spirit with our faith community will bring us joy and hope to our compassion and justice ministries that we engage in. So in conclusion, dear friends, the Beatitude describes God's presence and gracious deliverance with our joyful participation through God, giving us a share in this deliverance and blessedness. We have a share. We have a role. We don't trust in our own works. We don't trust in our self-righteousness. Rather, we respond to God's calling and God's grace. The Beatitudes promise blessedness of the participation in God's gracious deliverance and justice. And remember that the Beatitudes make a promise for the fulfillment of justice, pointing to the future kingdom of God that will be here when God reigns. Please pray with me. Dear Father, we praise you for your righteousness and thank you for your ongoing involvement in the world. We ask you to help us respond to your grace by participating in your saving actions humbly, according to the leading of your Holy Spirit, so that we are blessed to be a blessing to others. Amen.